Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be traveling back to the 1980s.
Okay.
But specifically, the Dutch disco scene.
Right.
And we are going to be exploring the work of a duo named Julius Tyson and Hans Zimmerman.
Okay.
Better known as JTHZ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these guys were featured on Ferry Mott's legendary soul show.
Right.
But they never quite reached the same level of fame as some of their contemporaries.
Interesting.
So we've got a whole stack of sources here. Articles, track lists from their mixes, even a podcast interview with them.
Wow.
And our mission today is to kind of figure out why?
Okay.
Were they simply overlooked?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there something more to the story?
Yeah, you know, it's a fascinating question.
Yeah.
Especially considering they were really quite innovative for their time.
Yeah.
Even before mixing became popular in the Netherlands, Julius and Hans were already experimenting with manipulating audio.
Oh, wow.
Using just tape recorders.
Really?
This was way before the days of easy cassette mixing. Yeah.
So they were teenagers at the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that real DIY spirit really jumps out at you when you read about their setup.
Absolutely.
Modified cassette decks with extra switches for channel control.
Wow.
Even manipulating the motor speed to create unique sound effects.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible how resourceful they were.
It really speaks to their passion for sound and their willingness to kind of push boundaries.
Yeah.
There's even the story about Julius receiving a near-fatal electric shock as a child.
What?
Because of his fascination with electronics.
Oh, my gosh.
It seems like that experience, rather than deterring him,
yeah,
only fueled his curiosity.
So they're tinkering away in their bedrooms, creating these innovative mixes.
Yeah.
How did they end up getting their music on Ferry Mott's soul show?
So the soul show had a segment called Bon Van Doorstarters.
Okay.
Or BVD for short.
Okay.
It was a platform for aspiring DJs to submit their mixes.
Uh-huh.
And it became quite popular.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you remember that iconic jingle, Door-Door-Door-Door-Starters.
Oh, absolutely. It was a staple of the show.
Yeah.
So JTHZ saw this as their chance to get heard, inspired by other DJs like Ben Liebrand, who were making a name for themselves through the BVD.
Exactly. The show even referred to these contributors as the Army of Home Practitioners.
Oh, wow.
Which is an interesting term.
Yeah.
It highlights the distinction between these bedroom DJs working with limited resources,
right,
and the professional DJs with access to studios and better equipment.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So let's talk about their music. What set JTHZ apart from the other DJs on the BVD?
Their style was definitely unique.
Uh-huh.
They weren't afraid to experiment and push the boundaries of what was considered conventional mixing at the time.
Yeah.
If you look at their available mixes, like AM FM to Perfection, It Takes a Mix to Fall in Love, or the February Summer Street mix,
mm-hmm,
you see a lot of creativity in their use of samples, transitions, and sound effects.
And they were using techniques like flanging and echo mixing very early on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Could you explain those a bit for our listeners who might not be familiar with them?
Sure. So flanging creates a sort of sweeping whooshing sound.
Okay.
By slightly delaying one copy of a signal and mixing it with the original.
Interesting.
Echo mixing, as the name suggests, involves adding delayed repetitions of a sound,
uh-huh,
to create a sense of space and depth.
Okay.
JTHZ were using these techniques to add texture and complexity to their mixes.
So they had this innovative approach to mixing their music. Was getting airtime on a major radio show.
Right.
They were part of this army of home practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they had a lot going for them, and yet they never quite broke through to mainstream success.
Yeah.
Why is that?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
One theory is that their reliance on DIY equipment held them back. They were pushing cassette decks to their limits, while others had access to professional studios and more sophisticated technology.
But couldn't their DIY approach also be seen as a strength? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it forced them to be resourceful and creative.
Right.
Which is evident in their unique sound.
For sure.
Perhaps their experimental style itself was a factor.
Yeah.
Maybe it was too unconventional for mainstream tastes at the time.
That's certainly a possibility.
Yeah.
It raises the question of whether their music was simply too ahead of its time,
uh-huh,
or if it lacked the commercial appeal needed to break through.
Right.
There's also the issue of their personalities and career choices.
Oh, yeah. In the podcast interview we have.
Right.
The interviewer actually puts it quite bluntly.
He does.
He asks them, why were so many others successful and not you two idiots?
Wow.
It's a harsh question, but it gets to the heart of the matter.
It does.
Yeah.
And their response is quite revealing.
Oh.
Hens talks about how they were sloppy,
okay,
and lacked a structured way of working.
Right.
He admits they often winged it in the studio.
Oh, wow.
Which is a far cry from the meticulous approach you'd expect from successful DJs.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if their focus was more on the creative process, the sheer joy of experimentation,
right,
rather than the business side of things.
And we know they had other interests, too.
They did.
Hens went on to pursue filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And Julius worked as a technician and later a freelancer, even restoring old audio and video.
Yeah.
Perhaps their diverse passions overshadowed their music careers.
It's a fascinating thought. Yeah. We're starting to see a pattern here, aren't we?
We are.
This wasn't just a case of bad luck or being overlooked.
Yeah.
There were choices made, paths taken, that might have led them away from a more conventional path to success in the music industry.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting that you mentioned their lack of structure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at their AM/FM to perfection mix right now,
mm-hmm.
and the transitions are actually quite impressive.
Yeah.
The way they weave in and out of ABA's Dancing Queen,
mm-hmm.
then seamlessly jump into Natasha King's AM/FM.
Right.
It's clever and unexpected.
That's true. Their creativity really shines through in those moments. It does make you wonder, though, if they had access to better equipment, could they have taken those transitions even further?
Yeah.
Refined them to a level that would have made them stand out even more.
It's a valid point, but there's also something to be said for their resourcefulness.
Right.
They were pushing those cassette decks to their limits.
Yeah.
Creating effects that you wouldn't hear anywhere else.
For sure.
And they weren't afraid to experiment.
Yeah.
I mean, they even threw a bit of Mel Brooks's To Be or Not to Be, the Hitler rap, into the mix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of their playfulness.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to take themselves too seriously.
Right.
And that comes through in their music. There's a certain charm to that.
Absolutely. They were skilled, creative, and having fun.
Yeah.
So why weren't they as successful as other DJs?
Right.
Let's go back to that podcast interview.
Okay.
The interviewer specifically asked them about this, about the lack of official bigs and opportunities compared to their peers.
So what did they say?
Well, their response was quite telling.
Okay.
Hens admitted they were sometimes just winging it in the studio.
Really?
Which highlights a crucial difference between them and other DJs who were meticulously planning and producing their mixes.
Right.
Perhaps JTHC were more focused on the creative process, the joy of experimentation, rather than the business side of things.
Cool. Wasn't there also a certain charm to their more laid-back approach?
Yeah.
Did it perhaps contribute to their unique sound? It's easy to romanticize it now.
Yeah.
But maybe that lack of professionalism also held them back.
It's a possibility. The music industry, especially back then,
right,
was a competitive field. Talent alone wasn't always enough.
Yeah.
You needed drive, discipline.
Yeah.
And a good understanding of the business to really make it.
For sure.
There's also the fact that they never pursued music full time.
Right.
Hens focused on filmmaking.
Yeah.
And Julius became a jack of all trades technician.
Hmm.
You have to wonder, what if they had dedicated themselves solely to music?
Yeah.
Could they have reached those higher levels of success?
It's a question worth pondering, but we also have to consider that they seemed content with their choices. They found fulfillment in their other pursuits.
Right.
And never completely abandoned music either. They still collaborated on projects from time to time, even expressing interest in working together again using modern DJ equipment.
Maybe their story isn't about missed opportunities, but about finding your own definition of success.
Mm.
They clearly had talent and passion, but they chose to express it in various ways, not just through music.
And that brings us back to the interviewer's rather provocative question.
Okay.
Why were so many others successful and not you two idiots?
Yeah.
He was trying to understand why they didn't achieve the same level of fame or recognition as their peers.
He certainly didn't hold back, did he?
No, he didn't.
But their response wasn't filled with bitterness or regret.
Right.
It was with humor and self-awareness.
Uh-huh.
They seemed to have made peace with their unconventional path.
It makes you question the whole idea of what it means to be successful in the creative world.
Yeah.
Is it solely measured by fame and recognition?
Mm.
Or is it about following your passions, expressing yourself authentically, and leaving your mark, however small, on the world?
It's a question JTHC's story forces us to confront. They were undeniably talented and innovative.
Yeah.
But they also lacked the focus and ambition that often drive artists to stardom.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they seem to have found their own version of success, one that doesn't necessarily fit the conventional mold.
That's a great point.
So maybe instead of measuring their journey against others, We should just consider what unique impact they did have.
Yeah, their influence may be subtle, but it's definitely there. You know, we can hear echoes of their experimental techniques in the work of later DJs, and their willingness to push boundaries with limited resources was inspiring.
They were pioneers in their own right.
Absolutely.
And their story reminds us that innovation doesn't always come from big studios or expensive equipment.
No, not at all.
Sometimes the most groundbreaking ideas emerge from those who are willing to tinker, to experiment, to break the rules.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah. So that brings us to the interviewer's final question.
Okay.
About a potential reunion.
Mm-hmm.
He asked if they would consider collaborating again.
Right.
Using modern DJ equipment. And their response was surprisingly open.
Oh, really?
Both Julius and Hens seemed intrigued by the idea, a chance to revisit their musical roots with a fresh perspective and a whole new set of tools at their disposal.
So imagine JTHZ back in the studio armed with all the technology available today.
Right.
How would their old school sensibility blend with modern production techniques?
It's a tantalizing thought.
It is.
Could this be their chance to finally gain the recognition that eluded them all those years ago?
Yeah.
Or would their unique style get lost in the sea of contemporary electronic music?
It's a gamble, but maybe that's what makes it so exciting, a chance to rewrite their story, to prove that it's never too late to pursue your passion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what can we take away from this deep dive into the world of JTHZ?
Well, their story is a reminder that success can be a slippery concept. You know, it's not always about fame and fortune.
Sometimes it's about the joy of creation, the impact you have on others, and the legacy you leave behind.
JTHZ may not have achieved mainstream success, but their passion for music, their innovative spirit, and their unique approach to DJing left an undeniable mark on the Dutch disco scene.
And who knows, maybe this deep dive will spark a renewed interest in their work.
That would be great.
Introducing their music to a whole new generation of listeners.
For sure.
So if you're curious to hear the unique sound of JTHZ, seek out their mixes online. You might be surprised by what you discover. And as you listen, ask yourself, what does success truly mean to you? Is it about the destination or the journey? And can you find fulfillment in creating something unique and meaningful, even if it doesn't bring you widespread acclaim? These are questions worth pondering. And the story of Julius and Hens provides a compelling backdrop for such reflection.
Absolutely. Until next time, keep diving deep.
And never stop exploring the hidden corners of the creative world. You never know what treasures you might find.